Really wonderful. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, and we want to continue our study in the life of the prophet Elisha. Now, as we go through this study, you're going to notice, and maybe you've already started to pick up on it, but you're going to notice as we go through that all of the events and all of the miracles in the life and ministry of Elisha illustrate for us some very practical truths. There are some very practical things that we can learn from this. For example, as we go through the ministry of Elisha, we're going to learn, first of all, the fact of God's care. The fact of God's care. In other words, we're going to see illustrated, going through the life and ministry of Elisha, how that God cares for all of His people, whether they're young or old, whether they're rich or poor, whether they're weak or powerful, it doesn't matter. God cares. He cares for all of His people. That ought to encourage us to know, guess what? He cares for you too, right? And so that ought to encourage us. Not only that, we also see illustrated the faith of God's people. The faith of God's people. This is the most important element in the lives of the people of God. That's why the prophet Habakkuk, over in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, he made this statement. He said, "The just shall live by his faith." That's how we're supposed to live. By the way, the same thing is true in this New Testament age in which we live. You remember the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, says, "No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident." It's evident. Why? Well, here's why it's evident. For, or because of this great fact, that the just shall live by faith. Now, the reason why this is so important is because it is our faith in God that moves the arm of God. Now, think about this. It's our faith in God that moves the arm of God in the matter of our salvation. It's our faith in God that moves His arm in the matter of our daily provision. It's our faith in God that moves the arm of God as He leads and guides and directs us in the various stages of our life from where we are to where He wants us to be. All of that is by faith, you see. All of that is to be by faith. And that point very naturally leads us to the next thing, which is number three, the importance of God's Word. And the reason why these two go together, Romans 10:13, is because of the fact that it is our faith that comes. Where does it come from? Well, it comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. In our text, we're going to be dealing with a woman, a Shunammite woman. And as we look at this woman, it's going to be very clearly shown to us, if you just kind of peek down at verse 22 and verse 23, it's very clearly implied that this Shunammite woman and her husband had a strong faith. And here's why they had a strong faith. It's because they did not neglect. They did not neglect gathering together on certain holidays, or holy days rather, to hear the teaching of God's Word. That's why their faith was strong. Because they did not forsake the assembling of themselves together to hear the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. By the way, it's for that very same reason. In the New Testament, we have this admonition, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so these three things, very important: the fact of God's care, the faith of God's people, and also the importance of God's Word. All of these things we're going to see over and over and over again as we go through our study of the life of Elisha. Now, you'll remember we saw in our study together last time. I know it was a month ago, but do you remember? Boy, that was a dumb question, wasn't it? I do that sometimes. I ask really dumb questions. But anyway, I know you don't probably remember, so I'll remind you. About a month ago, we saw that widow woman whose faith resulted in a miraculous provision of oil. Remember that? And so God miraculously provided oil so that she was able to meet her needs. Well, now today, as we begin considering this Shunammite woman, we're going to see the same kind of miraculous provision that came because of her faith in the Lord God. So let's begin by noticing number one. Let's notice the woman. The woman. And as we consider the woman, a couple of things that we want to see. First of all, her place. Her place. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem." Now, if you'll remember, we said last time that after Israel's victory over the Moabites, you remember they were down by the Red Sea. We saw that coalition of three kings. There was the king of Israel, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, you remember. And they formed a coalition. They went against the Moabites, and God gave them the victory there. And you remember that we saw that after that, Elisha moved then from around the Dead Sea area, and he moved up to Samaria, the capital city of the nation of Israel. There he dwelt with that widow woman who needed that miraculous miracle in order to pay her debt. And so that's where we saw the miracle of oil taking place. Well, now from Samaria, if you look back in the very back of your Bible to that book called the Book of Maps. Some of you get that next week. But anyway, go to the Book of Maps, and you go from Samaria, you look northward, and you find this little place called Shunem. It's located south, what would that be? Southeast of Mount Carmel and northwest of Mount of Mount Gilboa. And so that's where this little place was located. And the Bible tells us there that as Elisha is traveling through this area, as he's ministering to people there, it was in that place, Shunem, that he found a place of comfort. It's there that he finds a place of rest. It's a familiar haven where that he can kind of just get alone and refresh himself for the ministry to which God had called him. That was the place where we find this woman. I want you to notice not only her place, notice number two, or letter B, her reputation. Her reputation. And as we consider the reputation of this woman, there's a couple of things that I want you to notice. First of all, number one, she was great. She was great. The Bible says in verse 8, "It fell on a day when Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman." A great woman. Now in the Bible, the word great is sometimes used to speak of those who have wealth. They may not necessarily be great in fame or popularity or notoriety. They may not be great in the sense that they have some high position in government and all of that, but they are great simply in the fact that they are wealthy. In fact, that's how we find the word used in 1 Samuel 25 and verse 2. And this woman was certainly a woman of substance. She was a woman who was well-to-do. And as we're going to see in the context, this woman was also great, not only in the fact that she was wealthy, but she was also great in the fact that she was, number two, she was charitable. She was charitable. Verse 8, "She constrained him to eat bread." She constrained him. In other words, when she heard the prophet Elisha preach, she invited him to come into her home to eat a meal. But this was not just a simple invitation. Because you see, that word constrained carries the idea that she sort of latched on to him and she refused to take no for an answer. You ever met somebody like that? You know, just you say no. But they just won't take no. So finally, you say, "Well, okay," you know, and you give in. Well, that's kind of what happened here. She constrained him. She refused to take no for an answer, and because of the fact that the fellowship that they enjoyed together. because of the fact that the fellowship they enjoyed together. I sort of imagine this kind of like the way it was for the Lord Jesus, you remember? When the Bible says that oftentimes he would go to Bethany, he stayed with Mary and Martha, Lazarus. See, that was a haven. That was a place of comfort. That was a place where he could just sort of get away from the crowd, get away from the press. He could just relax and refresh himself in the ministry to which God had given him to do. And so it was because of that, because of the fellowship that was so sweet and dare I say, the food that was so good. And she may have even known how to make oatmeal cookies. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But because of all of that, the Bible says in verse number 8 that so it was, that as oft as he passed by, he turned in hither to eat bread. In other words, every time Elisha passes through that little village called Shunem, he made a stop at this house. For the fellowship, for the food, for the refreshment, for the break that he was able to get from the ministry. She was charitable. But not only was she charitable, number 3, she was hospitable. Hospitable. Now, in those days, you understand, there was no Holiday Inn. There was no Ramada Inn. There wasn't even a Motel 6. Do we have a Motel 6 in Singapore? You're lucky. No Motel 6, okay? It's actually a hotel for roaches. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, there was none of those places, And so those who would travel would either, they had an option. They could either sleep under the stars, or they could find a family who would open their home for them and allow them to stay in their home. Now, this was especially true for those prophets. It was especially true for them. In their itinerant ministries, as they traveled from place to place, it was oftentimes that they would find a home where that they might be able to stay. And because the prophet Elisha passed through this area so often, and because of the fact that every time he came through, he visited with this family, the Bible says in verse 9 and verse 10 that this woman, she said to her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and a big screen TV, and a..." No, it doesn't say that, does it? And it shall be, when he cometh by... When he cometh by, and when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. In other words, let's make a prophet's chamber. Let's make a prophet's chamber where the prophet of God, when he's passing through, will be able to house him. We'll be able to put him up. Now, I have to be honest with you. My wife is very much like this woman in our text. She's very much this way. She is the perfect hostess. Okay, somebody said she's the hostess with the mostest. Okay, she is the perfect hostess. Ginger is always very quick. She's always very perceptive to recognize the needs of people that come our way. And I guess that's a woman thing. Us men are kind of, you know, we're kind of clueless. But she picks up on that kind of stuff. And when my wife does what this woman did, when she makes the suggestion that we do something to help a visitor in our home, I try to be like this woman's husband. You notice there's no response. You know what that means? That means she's talking and he's going, right? Yeah. I see some of you men. You understand what I'm talking about, right? You, like me, you have been well trained, okay? But he agrees with her. He agrees. And by the way, let me just tell you, you know, this is actually, it's actually one of the biblical qualifications for a pastor. Did you know that? It's one of the biblical qualifications for a pastor. The Apostle Paul said it this way, 1 Timothy 3:2, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior." Notice the next one. "Given to hospitality. Given to hospitality and apt to teach. Given to hospitality. But by the way, this thing about being hospitable, it's not just for pastors. Okay? It's not just for pastors. The same biblical principle is clearly stated by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 6:6. Notice what it says. Let him that is taught in the Word. Okay? Those who are being taught the Word of God, let those people communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. That's what this woman did. Every time Elisha came through, he was teaching her family, teaching her the Word of God. And so she then got involved in communicating to him all the good things that were necessary. Place to stay, food to eat, housing and lodging. And that's why, as the Apostle Paul described the normal Christian life, and we're not going to take time to study it. You can read it for yourself, Romans chapter 12. But as he's describing the normal Christian life, he added something in there that ought to be normal in the life of every Christian. Here it is. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. During my years in the ministry, I've had the privilege of staying in the homes of people. In the States, people have actually set aside rooms in their house, and they call that, these are our prophet chambers. This is where we provide lodging for missionaries or pastors or people serving the Lord. They're passing through, need a place to stay. Ginger and I have had the privilege of staying in some really nice places. In fact, we wanted to move in. They wouldn't let us. They said, you're here for a night or two, and then you're gone, okay? But some very nice places. Very nice places. When we were in Korea, we went down into some country areas, and we actually had people who would give up their own bedroom. They would give us the very best place that they had in their house. And they would go sleep someplace else, and they would give us the very best they had so that we might be able to enjoy our visit and our stay with them. Well, that's the kind of gracious hospitality that we're talking about here in our text. That's exactly what this woman did. Because she was spiritually benefited from the teachings of the prophet, her desire was that she might provide for his physical welfare. That she might provide for his physical comfort. That she might provide the physical needs from the abundance of the good things that God had given to her. She wanted to share that with the man of God. And so we see her hospitality. I want you to notice now not only the woman. Not only the woman. I want you to notice number two, the prophet. I want you to notice the prophet. Verse 11, the Bible says, "And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there." And as the prophet Elisha is resting from his journey, perhaps they have had a big meal together, and now he's gone up to that little room that was prepared for him, and he's resting now and laying there in the chamber that was provided. The Bible says in verse number 12 that he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite. Call her." And when he, that is Elisha's servant, had called her, she stood before him. Now Elisha's going to talk to this woman. And as he speaks to her, I want us to notice a couple of things that we find here in the conversation. First of all, there is a statement of his appreciation. There's a statement of his appreciation. He said unto him, "Say now unto her." In other words, he's talking to her through his servant. And he said, "Say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful with us with all this care." In other words, I want you to notice here that the care given to Elisha, the provision that was made for Elisha, it was not something that had been demanded. It was not something that had been expected. Now, by the way, false teachers, false prophets, those who Paul said served the god of their belly, they are very quick to make demands on their people. They're very quick to do that. But the true prophets of God minister expecting nothing. They minister requiring nothing. Because of the fact they minister because they want to serve God first, not man. And so he makes this statement concerning this woman, and he wants her to understand that he knows that all of the provision made had been freely given, and therefore he wants to express his appreciation for what she's done. Wasn't required, wasn't expected, it was freely given, and he wants to show his appreciation. Which leads us to the next thing, which was his question. In verse 13, what is to be done for thee? What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? You see, after being so wonderfully treated and after being so graciously treated, Elijah wanted to do more than just give a thank you card to this woman. He wanted to do something very special to show his appreciation for all that she had done for him. And so after performing that miracle of water in the wilderness, you remember we saw before down by the Dead Sea, after performing that miracle of water in the wilderness that led to Israel's victory over the Moabites, Elisha had gained a certain level of influence, first of all with the king Jehoram. He had a level of influence with him. He also now has a level of influence with the captains in Israel's army. And so he comes to this woman and he says, you know what, I can talk to the king. I have an open door. I can talk to the king for you. What do you need? What? Just tell me. Or maybe not the king. I can go to the captains in the army, the captains of the host. I can make a request for you. What do you want? What can I do for you? How can I help you? What is it that you need? And I want you to notice then her answer. Let her see. She answered, I dwell among my own people. You know what she was saying there, basically? I'm content with what I have. That's what she was saying. I'm content with what I have. In other words, this woman had no desire for worldly advancement. She had no desire for public glory. She was not trying to climb a ladder of success or whatever in her community. She was perfectly content with her home. She was perfectly content with her position. She was perfectly content with her friends. She was perfectly content with this little ministry that God had given to her. I'm happy right here. I dwell with my people. I dwell with my people. In other words, everything she had done for the prophet of God was simply because she loved the Lord God and wanted to please Him. It's not about me. It's about Him. I'm content. I dwell with my own people. That was her answer. Then I want you to notice letter D. His persistence. Verse number 14 and verse 16, we find Elisha, he does not simply drop the subject. He's determined. He wants to show his appreciation for what is done. And so the Bible says, he said, what then is to be done for thee? And Gehazi speaks up, and he answers and said, verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie to thine handmaid. Now, you read what this woman says here, and when Elisha makes the promise that in a year she's going to embrace a son, she's basically saying, please, don't get my hopes up. Don't raise my hopes. Don't get me all excited and then dump me where I'm disappointment. Disappointment. Now, I'll be honest with you. This is something. This is something that obviously had been a matter of grief for her for many years. And only those who have experienced and faced barrenness, only those who have faced the inability to have a child can really know the pain this woman was obviously feeling. My wife and I for 17 years kind of went through this. Get your hopes all up. Oh, this is it. You know, and it crashed. And then get your hopes all up, and then it crashed, you see. And this woman has obviously been through that. Now her husband's old. And so now Elisha gives the promise that this time next year you're going to have it. No. Don't get my hopes up. We've been up and down that emotional roller coaster time after time after time. Don't get my hopes up for that. But Elisha was not a false prophet who promised things without God's permission. And he was not a false prophet who would promise things without a clear direction from God. And so I want you to notice letter E, his reward. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had set unto her according to the time of life. In other words, God blessed this woman with something that she dearly wanted, even though hope had been dashed over and over and over again. Now I'm going to close right now, but don't get excited. This is the longest part. In the story of this great lady, a lady of faith, who was sincerely appreciated and wonderfully rewarded for her service to the Lord and to His prophet. We see how that she's wonderfully rewarded. Now we're going to finish this next time, but I just want to close with a couple of thoughts that I want to share with you that we can learn from this. The first thing is this. I want you to understand that people are not always appreciated. Are they? Many times we do things for the Lord. And yet many times we feel that we're not appreciated, we're not thanked, we're not encouraged for what we do for God. And the world certainly does not appreciate it. In fact, remember we talked about it this morning, the world hates you for it. The world despises you if you live for God and if you put Him first. But the sad thing is that many times, even we as believers in Christ, we fail to show the gratitude that we ought to show to those who are faithfully serving in our world. I'm talking about our missionaries. We don't show the gratitude to them for what they do, representing our Savior, representing our church on the foreign field. Not only do we not show proper appreciation for our missionaries, many times we don't even show proper gratitude that we ought to show for those who are faithfully serving in our church. Sunday school teachers, junior church workers. When's the last time you went up to one of them and said, hey, I just want you to know, I don't have any children in your class, but I sure am thankful you're back there serving. I sure am thankful for what you do. How you're helping the children of our church to learn and do. When's the last time we do that? You see, the truth of the matter is, sad as it may be, many times, we just fail to show appreciation for how God is using others to minister. And even though if you're in one of those positions, I just want to encourage you by reminding you that even though you may receive no words of appreciation, and even though you may receive no words of encouragement in this life, let me just remind you of one very important thing, and that's this. You're not serving men. If that's what you're doing, you need to quit now. You're not serving men. You're serving God. You're serving God. And here's what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. God is not unrighteous. He is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name. Now, how did you show love toward the name of God? Here's how you did it. In that you ministered to His saints and do minister. See? You may never hear a thank you, and you may never get a pat on the back down here. But God is not unrighteous to forget what you have done for His name and how you have served others. So may our hearts then be determined this evening that we will be faithful in serving our Savior. And may each one of us be encouraged to faithfulness as we consider the admonition and the wonderful promise that is given to us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. Boy, sometimes it's easy to do that, isn't it? Man, you know, week after week after week, you're faithfully in your place, faithfully doing what God has called you to do, what God has laid on your heart to do in ministering to others or in helping others to minister to others. And boy, you're faithfully, and yet nobody ever acknowledges it. Nobody ever says thank you. Nobody ever shows any appreciation. Well, let me just encourage you. Don't get weary in well-doing, because here's why. Here's why. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. That ought to encourage our hearts, right? That ought to encourage us to be faithful. To be faithful to serve God as He has called us to serve. But also, may this encourage us to be faithful to show our appreciation to those who are serving, to those who are working, and the different areas, the different ministries of our church. Heavenly Father.